Hi, this is comedian Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
Setting where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I am co-host Gigi Chick.
Today we have comedian and Uber producer of the Midwest Queer Comedy Festival, is it?
Yes, yes it is.
Mr. Dwayne Duke, how are you?
Greetings, salutations, hello all.
Hello,
thank
hello.
You so much for being on. We love you. We love having you on today. We're very excited. Your default setting is attention whore.
That it is. I am.
This might be the default setting that I relate to the absolute most. If someone were to ask me what my default setting is, it might be attention whore. You said that comes from being an only child.
Yep. Production of this shut that factor down.
I love it.
My parents are still together, but they're like, no more. We're not putting out any more product. We can't.
Well, when they did it right the first time, why would they need to do a second time, ooh, right?
I don't know if they did it right, but they did it.
I'm like, oh, they did the thing. They did it.
I'm like a Ford Pinto. They put their name on it, but they're like, hey, if it kills somebody, it's not our fault.
Oh god, I think my mom had a Pinto when she met my dad. I don't even know exactly. Are they like literally like little small cars? Are they supposed to look like beans?
They're like hatchbacks, and they were all brown for some reason. And they just explode.
They just randomly explode for no reason. That's fantastic. So like growing up, I mean, you got all the attention by default, right? Like you didn't really have to work for it.
Well, I'm a middle child, and I'm also a latchkey child because my parents had to work, you know, because we're not loaded. I'm a middle child of my grandmother's grandchildren. I'm like one of 13, and I'm directly in the middle, and then I'm one of 30 on my dad's side, and I'm directly in the middle of that as well.
30?
Yeah, that's past me, too.
Yeah, my dad has 6 brothers and sisters, so... And my mom has 2 siblings, so, or 3, depending on how we count. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's the thing. Like, my parents both had, like, my mom had 3 siblings, my dad had 5. So that was it. With cousins, anyway, it was, like, overwhelming. I find it kind of ironic that your parents just had the 1 and then everybody else cranked out, like, 40.
Yeah. So my mom's sister has 4. And my mom's brother has 7. And then they have, like, an adopted brother who's technically a cousin, but he's, like, a brother. So he's got, I think, at current count, he has 6 or 7. Yeah.
Wow.
I meet a new one every time we go to something, and I'm like, oh.
Well, that's pretty crazy, because, like, yeah, I feel the same way. Like, but my mom was one of 11. And I somehow only have 25 first cousins on that side. Like, it should be way more than that.
So my grandmother was one of 13. And my mom has 124 first cousins.
Yeah. That's so insane. It's fun,
that
though.
That is bizarre.
My uncle has 25 kids.
Oh, my God. Like, by himself?
Yeah, well, he didn't pop them out, so that's why he has so many.
Right. He's like, this is easy. I love this.
Wait, was it all by your aunt or
no?
Okay. No. I was gonna say that lady. Why don't they have a TLC show if that lady did it all?
Seriously.
I actually had a guy that I used to work with. He is only like I want to say like 45. Mm-hmm. He just had his 12th, which if you consider, yeah, none of them were multiples. They were all like single births. Like, I mean,
so that's a woman that's been pregnant for 12 years.
Exactly. Yeah. It's bananas.
Nope.
Yeah, no pass. Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Are they all with the same woman?
Yes, they're married. They're one of those deeply religious, like,
oh, quiverful people.
Multiply. Yeah. Well, it was funny because when I met him, this was like 12, 13 years ago, he had like 5. And at that time, he was like, you know, 35. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's a lot of kids for like 35. And like now, like, I see his Facebook posts and he's like, we just said number 12. And I was like, oh my God. And the thing is, I think he and his wife are the same age. So the fact that she's like 45, 46. And she has, like, her 12th or whatever it is. That just...
Stop it. The recipe's gone bad. Stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, their new kid already has...
We get it, okay? Just stop, please.
God, they're going to be like the Duggars have 17.
And then they're going to... One of them's going to end up being, like, a molester, and it's going to be, like...
Oh, you can't love that many children. No. You don't know all their names. Like, you can't love them.
No. Like, you can. You,
you don't you know anything do about because... them.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know me.
I love that each kid has a different set of siblings. They wake up, they're like, oh my God. So I know these four because I grew up with them, but like, I sort of know you because we have like the same name. Like, I could take a kidney from you, but like, I don't know you.
I don't know you like that. Like, yeah, that's what kids would be saying.
It's such a good point, because I mean, like, to me it's unfathomable to have two kids that, like, you know what's going on with them and what's going on in their lives and making sure that they're not running with the wrong crowd. How the hell do you do that within, you get into, like, 7, and then you get into 10, and now you're up to 12?
Like, I think about it, like, the Duggars, they definitely only know, like, the first four.
Yeah.
And everything else is just something small and sticky running around them. Is he a creep? They're all named the same first initial because that shit's wrong.
I hate that. I hate it. I know so many people do that, but like, I mean, even in smaller families, yeah, but it's just something about it irks me. I don't know.
My uncle has 4 and they're Brandon, Brittany, Brian, and Breon.
Oof.
And
yeah, I just can't.
His wife is Brenda.
What do you guys think about, I had a job in college where I worked at the Mansfield OSU library, and there were these girls that would come in, and I swear to God, I'm not making this up, their last names were Sweet, which, you know, a lot of people have that last name.
Yeah.
But they named their children
Truly,
Always, and Very. Those were their names. Those are the girls' names. Truly, Always, and Very.
That's what they went for. Those are worse than, like, stripper names. Like, they could have given them proper, like, let's make this fun, but they just went over the top. That was too much.
But then when their kids get married, they're definitely taking their husband's name, and they're going to go by their middle name.
Yeah, that's actually, let's hope that happened. Is
your name Very Mary Sweet? It's actually Mary Elizabeth.
It's Mary Marie, or Very Marie. Like, the most common one.
It's true. It's always Elaine.
Oh my God.
Oh God. So did you fight for attention then amongst your cousins growing up?
I fought for attention from everybody. I was like, hey, I was always the runt of the litter. I was smaller. So I was like, all right, I'm going to make you all love me. You have two options. Love me or fucking love me.
How you developed, like, your sense of humor? Is just dealing with that many people and having to just, like, put yourself out there all the time?
Like, so I wasn't a big sports star, and I was never the biggest kid, and I wasn't, like, bad. So to stand out, I had to be the funny one or the one that people just remembered. It was like everyone wanted to find out how I was doing because I made them laugh.
Yeah.
So you said you weren't the bad kid, right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, was it, you never really had a desire to be, like, I don't know, like, mischievous, or were you just kind of, like, you would rather get it from laughter than from, like, acting out? Was that just kind of your
thing? Like, there was no need, like, they're already the bad kids, like, they're the bad kids at school, they're the bad kids in the family, and I was like, well, that seems like a lot of work for you, and I'm not into it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, for them it worked out. Like, they got to, you know, get the attention that they craved, and I was like, ugh, you're kind of a mess. get it
you
together.
Could play off of their hot mess as just like yeah. part of your act. You'd be like talking to family members like, oh my god, can you believe them? So ridiculous.
And even if I was like I didn't have to be the best, I just had to be better by their average.
Better by their average. I like that a lot. Yeah, like, I don't have to be the ultimate best as long as I'm better than these guys. Like, this is the bar that I have to, like, get over. Well, and that's a really great point. Like, I was always the kind of person who wanted the positive attention, but, I was much like Jeej in that, like, on my dad's side, I think I have, like, 27 cousins because, like, God, my dad had, like, 5 siblings and they all had 5 kids. And a lot of my cousins, they weren't, like, horrible, nasty, bad, but they were, like, for their age, they were, like, doing shit they probably shouldn't have been doing. And just in general, like, doing really stupid, dangerous shit. Like, they would constantly, like, they had a barn, and they would jump out of the barn with the patio umbrella to, like, use it as a parachute. Like, just shit you'd see on Bugs Bunny, they would actually try, like, because there was no disclaimer back then that, you know, you weren't supposed to.
Also, we don't need everybody. That's too many people. That's why they had so many. They're like, what are these...
This is natural selection.
Yeah, I know what I'm bringing to the table. One of these is gonna die.
Oh my god, I never thought of it that way, but that's so true.
It's not like all of them will last.
But I just, like, I would see that kind of shit, and then my cousin would, like, break his arm, or, you know, just shit like that, and I was like, yeah, I just want positive attention. I don't want the, like, yelling at me attention.
Yeah, so. like I did things where I would get in trouble, but it wasn't like, oh my god, you stole a car and beat somebody down. It was like, did you go to the store when I told you not to leave the house?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted chips. I went to the store. It was my money.
Sue me.
It was my money. I earned it for cutting the grass. I don't know if you ever, like, were your parents strict at all, or were they just pretty, like, normal, average, chill parents? Or
there were rules, but I'm fiercely independent to a fault. So, like, there were rules. I followed most of them.
I mean, you turned out okay. Yeah, so, I mean, they obviously...
You knew.
You knew what was up.
You saw what was happening around you. You're like, I think I can accurately assess this.
I made it to 30 with no convictions. I'm good.
I love it. No convictions.
Or just the minor ones.
Yeah, exactly.
I played the fifth.
I took it the way my stoned brain took it is like, I don't have any convictions. Like, it was like more of like a whole like principle sort of thing, and I was like, oh, that's nice. So you decided to be more of like an entertainer. Did it start out always like you were trying to get laughs, or was it more just like, are you looking at me, or like, what was it?
I think it's mostly trying to get the laugh, trying to be like the funniest one in the room. Like, if you can make everyone laugh, that takes real gumption, like, to get the laugh, to get everybody on your side, no matter what I'm doing. Like, if I got the laugh on my side of the room, I won.
Yeah. That's got to be such a good feeling. Like, do you love that feeling doing stand-up even still? Or is it something that just kind of feeds it?
Oh, every night when you get that first laugh of the night, you're like, oh, that's right, I am better than you. Sorry. I forgot.
I love it. But I mean, like, you're speaking the truth, though. It's not like we do that for any sort of like philanthropy. It's a completely like self-absorbed narcissistic thing where it's like, I want the attention, I want the approval, I want everybody to be like, you know, wanting to be me sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, is that where a lot of your the attention wanted, like, you know, where is that where you get your satisfaction through wanting attention, is just knowing that it's like about you and it's approval, or, you know, where does it come from?
It's like 50-50. So it's like, I want everyone to pay attention, but I want them to pay attention to the story that I'm presenting.
Okay.
Like, it's like, hey, don't look over here where things are a mess. Look right here where I've got these two spinning plates.
Wow. That's some deep shit, actually. Like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, when you want people to see the narrative that you want to create instead of like them trying, does it,
the illusionist,
you know, yeah exactly. And like, does it kind of go back to like, do you have a tendency to have trouble letting people close to you because you only want them to see one facet? Or
I don't know, I never really think about it. Spoiler alert, I am single going on 30 years, so I was in a long-term relationship as a baby. It was me and my baba, but outside of that, it's just been me for 30 years. It's not that I don't let people get close to me. It's that I have I've created what I want people to see, and when I take that off at night, I am just so tired. I go to sleep. And then you wake up in the morning. You're like, all right, I gotta put it back on. Gotta slack the whore back on.
Normally, people slap that off, but
right,
that does make sense that you need to slap the whore on in the morning. Yeah.
I love it. That's a great phrase. Slap the whore on in the morning. That's like a CIA, like, slap the whore on in the morning. And all of a sudden a bunch of guys come running out of a building with like AKs, like, go. This is now Stoned Jess talking. Stoned Jess has arrived to say random stupidity like that. Do you remember the first thing you ever did that really made a big group of people laugh?
I was on the news when I was like 5.
Yes, I need that footage in my life. Like ASAP.
My school we did like a cultural thing, and I gave a report on Italy on the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and the newscaster, I guess, thought he was being funny or he couldn't understand me, and he's like, are you saying pizza? And I was like, no, it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's in Italy, and it goes like this.
Oh, my God. If we had viral videos back then, you know you would have been that little kid, like, the pizza kid.
Oh, yeah. That would have been circulating.
Do you still have that video?
I don't know. I've never looked for it. I don't know, what station it was, and I doubt they put it on YouTube, because why would they?
Yeah, that was... Oh, that's the thing, man. We probably did some really funny viral-ass shit back when we were kids, and we'll never know now. Although my parents literally, they got a video camera when I was 9, and they videotaped everything we did until we were like 13 and telling them to fuck off with the cameras.
So. Same with us. We have my brothers and I have so much home video footage from basically since we were born through the age of like 10. It's so much. Like, if anyone else watched it, they'd be like, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen. But to us, it's hilarious because we know each other so well.
Exactly. And you know, like, you were there. It's shit's funnier when you were there. So it's like, oh, really, you don't understand.
had to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Did your parents take a lot of videos, Dwayne?
No.
No.
Again, latchkey kid, they worked a lot. They worked.
Got it.
To keep keep life together. I went to very expensive schools, so.
Okay.
They were there for things, but there wasn't a video camera. We took a lot of pictures. There's tons of photo albums, but not a lot of video. And I kind of like that because I'm not going to watch the video later in life.
Exactly. Although I will say the attention whore narcissist in me, I will go back and rewatch like, oh, am I in this? I totally want to see like, what did I look like? What was I doing?
Oh, I hate to admit this, but when I'm driving long distances, I'll listen to old podcasts that I'm on. I will listen to the podcast, the episode that I'm on, and I'll try to listen to another one, but I'm like, they're not talking about me, so I don't care.
That's 100% me. Oh my God. That's so funny. The first podcast I was ever on was Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I listened to that episode at least 50 times because I'd never been on a podcast before. And I was like, listen to me, listen to things I'm saying. And at one point, Jeremy's like, you have one of the highest listening episodes. And I was like really, really embarrassed because I knew it was mostly because of me.
You're like, oh, shit.
Like 50 times.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. I must just be really fascinating.
Yeah, if you want to get your listens up, put me on an episode because I'll listen to it a half dozen times.
I love that we're not ashamed of that. Well, I'm not ashamed, but I don't think you are either.
Oh, when I'm promoting shows, like, oh, yeah, well, I talked about your show on this podcast. So listen to it, and then people will listen to it. So I did Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy and El Hordano.
Yeah.
I talked about my hatred for Brandi Norwood.
I remember this episode, yes. Yeah.
And I listened to it. I listened to it the night it came out, and then I told all my friends about it. And then I, two of my friends, we Skyped and listened to it, and we, like, made... They were, like, making comments about the comments I was making about it, and I was like, yeah, that's who I am as a person. I should be ashamed, but sorry, not sorry.
Nope, I'm not either. And that's the thing about attention whoring, is you really can't... There's no subtlety to it. I mean, it's in the name. Like, there's just no way to be, like, demure while also wanting it. Like, you just have to own it. Like, as a part of the definition of attention whore is like, yes, I want attention. Look at me.
Yeah.
Look what I'm doing.
It's like there's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart doesn't have any lines, and he's just in the background making jokes, and he's like, why is no one going to pay? Is no one going to pay attention to me? No one? No one.
I remember that.
Really? No one? And then it just cuts to the next scene.
I remember that exact one. And what is it? Oh, the one where he's walking around banging on pots and pans with the spoon. And he was like, just singing like, everybody loves me, la la. Like, I will do that sometimes if I feel like I'm not getting attention. I'll be like, look at me. Like, just yell.
Yeah, there's like a end of season episode where they are talking, where the kids are about to get out for the summer. And Bart walks through the scene and he just has a pot in one hand, a spoon in the other, and he's banging them together. He goes, I found my summer activity.
Oh, God.
But seriously, Dwayne, I feel like you should have a YouTube channel, like of reaction videos where you react to videos of yourself. I would subscribe so hard for that.
Me too. Oh, God, can we please get that going?
Because I love reaction videos.
It would just
videos.
Be like, what am I doing here? What is my fate even?
You're like, what am I wearing? Like, what am I doing right now? Like, it'd be so awesome.
So I'm crazy lazy and I want to start a podcast, but I don't want to do the production work involved for it. And people are like, well, why don't you start like a YouTube channel? I'm like, that seems like a lot of work too. I'm really busy. Sometimes I want to sleep.
Yeah.
But you like, should look into that.
I want one because I feel like that's the only way to get work at a comedy club anymore. Like, how many views do you have on YouTube? How many videos do you have? Like, you only have 40 videos and they only have like 1,000 views. And I'm like, yeah, I only send them like 1,000 people. What sociopath is just trolling YouTube? Like, that's what bugs me about the story of Justin Bieber. He, the creeper that discovered him was trolling through YouTube and found a video of a shirtless 13-year-old boy and was like, I have to have him. And no one put him in prison.
Wasn't that Scooter Braun?
His
manager that found him?
Yeah, that's who found him. He was like, a 9-year-old boy.
He was super small, yeah.
He was like shirtless, playing a guitar, and whoever shot that video should definitely be in jail.
I mean, I remember seeing his, like, you know, because his original videos are, like, him singing Usher, like, so that his grandparents could, like, listen to him sing, basically. That was his whole reason for putting him up. But, I don't remember the shirtless ones, but that sounds really creepy.
Yeah.
That sounds like
he might not have been shirtless, but I feel like he was a very small child playing a guitar, and Scooter Braun was like, yes. My precious.
Usher needs to see this.
At least he didn't want to keep them all to himself, which I imagine is probably more of a pedophilia thing than a...
Yeah.
But anyway, the new thing that I've been talking all about, which I my friends are probably wanting me to shut up about now, that the kids are into is the Twitch. And I guess this is like, you know, it's strictly like streaming app. But essentially, if you get on Twitch, what people do is just play video games, and people literally just log in to watch people play video games. But a lot of people have been doing like live streams. My brother's like some kind of Twitch super crazy user. He has like a million followers or something. And he was telling me, he's like, because I was every once in a while I'll do like live Facebook drunk and just rant about something just for like, because I haven't done any stand up since I moved out here. And so that's been like my outlet. And he's like, that would do really well on Twitch if you wanted to do like a Twitch. And then like with Twitch, like, you just show up and it's live, so like it's whoever happens to just tune in and see like, oh shit, Jess is doing a drunk stream or, you know, whatever. So that's something else too. You're not feeling as obligated, because like if you're super busy like you don't have to like record and edit and then upload and all that shit. It's just like, hey, I'm high in my house right now and this is what I'm doing, and people actually tune in and crack up with that shit. So
I feel like I could do it while driving. Like, do a live Twitch of me driving across the country or whatever.
That would be awesome.
But then I don't want any evidence of the weird shit I do when I'm driving. I sing, I talk to myself, I have full conversations, I write movies in my head.
Yeah, you need to record that for sure.
Yeah, I would like to see that. You can do a paid subscription for that shit. So you're like, I don't really want people to see this, but if you will pay me $10 a month to watch me do this, then you're making money and they're getting something.
Yeah, so. But then I feel obligated to keep it going and
that's true. I mean, you could just, it's like, you could pay month to month too. You could just be like, hey, if you pay $10, you'll unlock this thread to watch me do, you know, show tunes while I write the next
People Citizen will give Kane. You ideas. It might get crazy, so, but that might open up Pandora's box. True.
So, I was working at my day job, because spoiler alert, comedy's going great, and I was just, something got stuck in my head, the word pig fucker got stuck in my head, because I was on a 2-hour drive to this location to do the shoot, because I'm a photographer, and pig fucker got stuck in my head, and like, I created this whole British character in my head who's just like a demure British lady. She's like very Maggie Smith.
Okay.
And she's walking with her granddaughter somewhere, and she goes, oh, look, it's Mrs. Fig Pucker. She doesn't care much for me, dear. Why, grandmother, why? Oh, we were at the pub one evening, and I called her out of her name when I was drinking. Oh, no, did you call her a pig fucker? Oh, heavens no, dear, I called her a cunt.
Please write that.
Oh, my God.
That is so funny. When you were doing that in my head, I was hearing, "Tis," replied Aunt Helga. Like...
And so I started with pig fucker, and then I was saying cunt out loud in a British accent in an elementary school. Oh, heavens no, dear. I called her a cunt.
They have to learn. Those kids have to learn the word at some point.
And I was like, I was just by myself going, I hope everyone hears me doing this. Like, so as much as I want attention, if anyone sees the practice that I put into writing new stuff, I would die.
It is. You do feel a little naked sometimes, like when occasionally somebody will stumble, like I'll have my notes open and they'll look over at like my comedy notes. And it's like, in my head, to the outside person, this must look like the ramblings of, like, a complete lunatic, just because of, like, you see all the guts and the bones and everything. You don't see the polished version that what people actually get.
Yeah, like, if you ever read through my notebook, it is just, it doesn't make any sense to anyone else, because I just write words now. I just write titles of jokes, so, like, I've got one that's just called, shit, what's the newest one? Hold on, my book nearby. What joke am I working on? It's got a funny title for me. Oh, it's like the Eighth Commandment.
Okay.
So it's the Eighth Commandment, and it comes after a joke called New Drinking Rules. And so it's New Drinking Rules, Eighth Commandment, which, you know, out of context, those are, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The joke about the Ohio accent.
Oh.
Like, the joke I do, I write it down as Ohio accent. So it looks like the shopping list of a serial killer if you open any one of my notebooks.
Like, eyes, milk, bread, spleen.
Like, turning 36, meh. And then just a bunch of dick doodles.
Dick doodles. That's a really good porn name.
Dick, are you already 30 or are you about to turn 30?
I just turned 30 2 months ago. I'm not a fan of it so far. It doesn't hurt as much as I thought it would, but I am not a fan.
Yeah. I will tell you, I hate playing this card because, like, you kids never want to hear it, but honestly, like, I'm going to be 37 in a couple of months, and, it really actually gets, like, so much better than anything I experienced in my 20s. Like, my 30s have been, like, 88 billion times better.
Oh, I've calmed down so much about things. Like, the things I don't give a fuck about, I don't give a fuck about.
You don't have the energy. You actually lose energy to give a fuck about. You have to, like, okay, what do I want to invest this minuscule amount of energy I have? Do I want to invest it here, and then you figure it out?
A friend of mine texted me something that she's irrationally upset about, and I was like, let them live. I don't have the energy for that. Just let them live. Just now be mad about it with me, and I'm like, no, thank you.
I feel like I'm so much, like, I'm not 30 yet. My dirty 30 is in May.
Next year.
But I'm already like there. Planning it almost in my head. There. I'm like, it's just around the corner. Make that like free the date.
I would try to plan mine for a year, and then I took a promotion at work, and I couldn't travel the way I wanted to for my birthday, because they frown on you, like, just leaving for a month. I was like, I'm going to go to Australia, and I'm going to take a cruise, and I'm going to sit on the beach and just get to know myself. I'm going to, like, and by that I mean bang all the Australians. But, like, I'm going to get to know myself. I'm going to take a walkabout through the outback. And, you know, I did my
walkabout, yep.
I
in the bush.
I slept on a friend's chair. That's how I turned 30. I woke up sober. And then I went to a baseball game and proceeded to have a minor blackout.
Oh, God.
Like it was the little one, like a little blackout.
Just a little one. Rolling brownout.
Fancy one.
Yeah.
Like, my phone was dying, so I went to charge it, and I sat on the ground at Tower City outside the casino, and I fell asleep, you know, like a homeless.
Like a homeless!
That's where they all sleep.
And like I just fell asleep in the doorway of a shuttered candy store. Oh, no, it wasn't a candy store. I think it's where they set up Santa's Village.
That's even worse somehow. I'm not sure why.
I just look like an elf who's out of work and waiting for this shit to get back together.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's that exact window where they filmed, like, the Christmas display that's in the movie The Christmas Story. Whatever.
No, not outside. Oh, I'm not that bad. My birthday's in September. It was inside, downstairs. When you go in Tower City, and this is super local only, I guess, but when you're in Tower City, you go down to the first level, because the casino has, like, 9 ways to get in there. It's the exact opposite of Hogwarts. You can always get in. but one of the ways it's, like, underground inside of Tower City, and there's a doorway, and I saw a plug, and I was like, okay, I need to charge my phone, and I'm waiting for my dad to come pick me up to take me to dinner, because I'm really, really drunk right now. So I sat on the floor, and I charged my phone, and I was like, okay, I can do this. And the next thing I know, I'm just asleep. Like, I'm, like, blacking out, just, oh, no. And I'm like, I wake up, and I was like, oh, dear, what have I done?
What a silly cunt am I?
Grandmother, oh, you didn't call her a pig fucker. No, dear, I called her a cunt.
That's such a fucking good... That's just a good joke. It needs to be written somewhere.
I drew it as a comic, but I can't really draw, so I'll have to, like, reanimate it.
I like it. Yeah. I would very much like to see that comic. And then you'll probably end up becoming like a web... The one thing I would really like to do, if nothing else pans out, is I follow... Do you guys ever read The Oatmeal or Hyperbole and a Half?
I have, back when I used to use Stumble Upon.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. What was that?
It was like a internet randomizer, and it just takes you to random places. And I think they've taken it down now because all the Nazis...
Oh, shit, that's us.
Oh. Yeah. Damn those Nazis.
Nazis ruin literally everything. Stop fucking ruining things, Nazis.
Yeah, because people just kept stumbling upon, just because it takes you to a random corner of the internet. Like, it's like, oh, what do you like? Or do you want to try something random? And you try something random, so it just goes to a domain that's registered, and it shows you what that domain is.
Okay.
And, so that's how I found a web comic that I used to read every day called shit, I can look it up.
I read a ton of them. Like, and that's the thing, what I love about them is they're usually pretty short. They're usually very crudely drawn, but that makes it even funnier. And that's the one thing I've always kind of wanted, because I love to draw, but I also like to be goofy, so I've always kind of wanted to get into that, but now I feel like it's almost impossible, like, without everything else. There's just so many. Like, what's a good, really good one?
This one's called Questionable Content.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard of this one.
And it's about, like, it's like an alternate universe in the same realm where there's, like, artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And there's, like, anthropods just walking around and they're part of life. And
okay.
Yeah, it's funny. There's Surviving the World, and that math professor who, like, he's a professor at, like, MIT or somewhere, and he draws a comic on the board every day.
And these are, like, brief, are they, like, brief, like, funny comics, or are they, like, graphic novelish, or?
No, they're just, yeah, they're just, like, one page.
Little comics, okay.
They're really funny.
Yeah, I got into War and Peace, P-E-A-S, which is, oh my god, I can't even describe. They're usually, like, really super dark, but they're also, like, super random. And then there's also, so there's poorly drawn, oh, there's War and Peace, and there's Poorly Drawn Lines. And Poorly Drawn Lines, you guys have to at least check out. I don't think I've ever not laughed.
I've read some Poorly Drawn Lines. I've seen
that. Yeah. Oh, God. It's, yeah. Goofy humor is my wheelhouse. Do you have, like, the thing I love about your humor and the reason why I find you consistently funny is because I think your humor does get pretty, like, goofy. Like, that's what I love about your humor. Would you consider yourself, like, I mean, do you have a certain brand or style in that way?
So I work towards being the vein of, like, a stage bar comic, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
So, like, the comics I really like, Jim Jefferies, Kathleen Madigan, Lewis Black. Their style is like, if they were sitting at the bar stool next to you, they would tell you the exact same story, and you would laugh exactly as hard, and it's so, like, that's what I want. Like, just that attention whore kind of, like, it's like, come gather around, children, I've got a story for you today. I used to do that in college. I would, like, whenever some shit would happen, I would just prepare the story in my head and just storm over, and I'd get a group together, and I would just tell them. Like, there's this story of, and it's kind of a sad story when I step back and look at the outside of it. So a friend of mine, she had a restraining order against her boyfriend. And it's this whole long thing. She ended up marrying the guy. That's gross. But we all went to hang out with her one weekend because I guess she was worried he was going to appear. And so we get out there. Well, she didn't tell us that her other family, like, they were sort of on the boyfriend side, and they didn't know why anybody else was in the house when she was supposed to be alone that weekend. We were like, oh, that's weird. So her brother shows up, and they have to hide me and the two drunkest girls. And so we're hiding under the bed waiting in the other room, and I was like, this is so amping. I can't even... I was like, this is how I die. I'm going to get murdered by some inbred hillbilly in Florida, hiding with some white girls. Just, this is how it happens. This is what happens when you hang out with white
people. Oh, it's so good. I mean, are most of you...
So frank of us.
Now I have that Outcast song in my head. when did you decide you wanted to hone, like, your... attention, like, you would tell jokes for attention into more of, like, a stand-up comedy writing thing?
I always wanted to be a stand-up, like, since the first time I saw Comedy Central, I was like, that's a job? What? I was, like, 7.
Okay.
I got on stage in 2011 after I flipped my truck off a bridge, and, yeah.
You live, like, your life is a country song, what? I seem to recall, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some days I live like a rap song. Some days I live like a country song. You know, 3.5 minutes, and it's really loud.
I love it.
Some days I'm a folk song, and I'm like, ugh, is this going to end soon? I am over it.
I feel like we just broke into a bit, and I love everything about it.
I wish that was a bit now. I do this all the time. Like, I'll say something on a podcast, and I'm like, I should go back and turn that into a joke on stage.
Yep.
And I just don't.
You know what I love about, though, with podcasts is that so often I'll be like, now I'll be super high, and the second I say something, I don't even remember what I just said. And so for that reason, I can go back and keep listening to the podcast and be like, oh shit, I thought about a joke I wanted to write right there. And then I can actually, so some of the stuff that has been in the podcast has come out as jokes later. So yeah, that's what, like, I love about.
Like, I'll say it on the podcast, but unless it's a joke I'm already working on, I usually just go, maybe not.
So when was the first time you got on stage?
It was May 31st, 2011 at the Tampa Improv. I got on stage June 1st at 1 a.m. to a crowd of 4 people.
Yes.
I brought 2 of them, and I fucking bombed.
Aww.
I bombed so hard for the next month and was just like, oh my god, I love this. I want this to be my entire life.
That's how you know it's meant to be, when it's going terribly and you're like, I love this so much. Like,
this is so good. Why am I not doing this all the time? Why? Yeah, I used to walk to the open mic. I'd walk 2 miles with a beer in my hand because I didn't have a car and I was poor, but yeah. I lived in a gated community.
Okay.
Like, I could have lived somewhere a lot cheaper, but I didn't. I did have a car. I was poor. I would walk to improv every night. And it's like a 2 mile walk there and then a 2 mile walk home. And just, I would do that for 5 minutes of stage time once a week. And I would tell the same jokes. And I finally got a laugh one week and I was like, fuck yes.
And then that was it. You're like, okay, now I'm not turning back. Now that I yeah. know.
Like a month into stand-up, I got into a competition open for Ralphie May. I had no business in that competition, but I was on the main stage at the improv, and I was like, well, I guess I've made it.
Even now I look back, like, just 2 years ago when I started, just the amount of things where I was just like, clearly I'm on my way and this should only take about a year for me to like break and, you know, just stupid ass shit.
Oh God, I just looked up and it's snowing.
Oh no. I try to console everybody by telling them last week when Gigi and I were taping, we couldn't open the doors or windows because the smoke was coming in. So if, yeah, no, you know,
your state's on fire. So.
Yeah, it's on fire. It's not, it's
crazy.
We literally couldn't open the windows or doors because, like, ash and smoke were coming in. And we're 30 miles away, too. That's, like, the scariest shit is that's how much ash and smoke was in the air. So,
yeah. That picture you sent me was so insane.
Yeah. Like, we went for a walk up, like, there's these hills. If you go up to the top of, you can see, like, Malibu and Woodland Hills and all of that. And it literally just looked like hell. Like, there were just flames and smoke coming, like, out from behind the mountain. And that's all you can see. Yeah, it's terrifying. That's the thing. People talk about, like, oh, like, California's warm. I'm like, yeah, but you can't even go out. It's like there. You can't go outside because it's not livable. So
yeah.
It really just doesn't matter. Six one way, half a dozen the other. But were you in anything in high school? Like, did you perform or anything like that?
I was in marching band because I'm the coolest.
What'd you play?
I played bass drum.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in marching band, and that is it.
Okay.
I was not involved. I did not like high school. Because I was like, I know I'm smart because I didn't have to try in elementary school. Why is this hard?
Yep.
And it occurred to me I just had bad teachers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, from like fifth grade on, I feel like they tried, but they weren't good at their jobs.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of those.
Me too. I went to a really rural, I went to a very rural, poor school, and that was the thing, they skipped me ahead, like, I actually skipped a grade, they started me in kindergarten at age 5, and then I was there a week, and they were like, nah, we're gonna send you to first, and I think they were, like, super amped that they had someone intelligent at their school, but then ultimately, I was a 5-year-old in a class full of 7-year-olds, and that didn't totally just set the tone for my next 13 years of being bullied and not relating to anybody. And then to boot on top of that with just shitty teachers, I completely relate. Like, I wanted to be on stage, I wanted to do theater, but I hated everybody that I would have had to, like, you know, perform with. They all hated me. You know, just, I totally relate to that.
Yeah, like, as a kid, like, I wanted to be the center of attention, like, I wanted to be popular, but I also didn't want to spend any more time with these people.
Yeah, definitely. Did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to the University of Tampa.
Okay.
And I'm currently in school now. I'm working on my MFA.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, I just went back to school, so I didn't have to take student loans for a little while.
Sure. What school are you going to right now?
Southern New Hampshire University. So it's online, which is lovely. I actually have homework due in a couple hours, and I haven't even looked at it.
No, I've actually heard that one is actually very good online school, so that's pretty cool. No, like,
it feels like a real school, and it feels like I'm not doing real schoolwork. So
it takes a lot of, like, discipline to do online schooling, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm figuring out that I have it, but I don't have enough of it. I got to take a couple more, like, really easy classes to bring my average back up.
Okay.
Or I got to try and But so I went, I decided I'm going to go for script writing because I want to, like, I do want to work in the industry.
Cool.
And I realized long ago that I'm not going to be famous. Like, I'm not going to be the guy on, like, The Tonight Show. And I don't want to be the face out there. Like, that's not where I want to be. Like, but I do want to, I want to write and I want to, like, punch things up. I want to be in the writer's room. I want to be in a
place. Yeah.
Like, I can, like, if I am on the road for a month, I can work remotely. You can't work remotely on the road for a month if you're, like, if, you know, if you're the
performer. Yeah, you would just be so tied down to, like,
well, yeah,
other people's routine, like, schedules.
That's what's funny to me about comedy is it feels a lot like high school in a lot of ways, but also, or college, in that you start to see all of us sort of, like, we all start out with this, like, we want to do comedy, but then everyone starts to sort of narrow down to, like, I want to be a writer, like, I want to be more of a performer, writer-performer, like, I want to be a Tina Fey or a Mindy Kaling, like, I want to be able to write, but ultimately spend more time performing, sort of a thing, and, you know, you kind of see how everybody sort of wants to go these different directions, and to your point with screenwriting, that's the thing, like, my boyfriend's a screenwriter, and I think for a while his plan was to kind of stay in Cleveland and see, you know, what you get. I think a lot of times people come to LA just to get their foot in the door. But to your point, once you get your foot in the door, you can work remotely. And that's been a big trend amongst writers out here, especially with all the weird WGA stuff they have going on with streaming services, which is a bunch of boring diddly that I won't get into. But, so many people hate LA, which I'm right now, since I just got here, I'm like, yes, please move. That will lower my rent and everything will be much more affordable when you get the fuck out. But a lot of them, like, especially ones that are starting to be more established and have decent shows and are starting to move up the ranks, yeah, they're all just going back home or they're going to a different city and then they're just submitting their writing and coming to LA like once a month for meetings or shit like that, but not living here regularly.
Yeah, I don't know if I can handle living in LA. I'm not that person, and I'm gonna try it when I'm 32. I'm gonna finish when I finish my degree. I told my boss when I took the promotion, I was like, I'm here until I finish my degree, and you know, I'll probably come back. I'll probably come back once or twice after that, you know, just to you know, just to make sure I don't starve to death anywhere.
Yeah.
But I don't know where I want to be. I don't know what I want to do.
You're a big Cleveland proponent. Am I right?
Like, I'm pro Cleveland, but like I don't work here. I very rarely perform in the city of Cleveland.
Okay.
I'm a road guy. So.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is there are a lot of people that we talk about sort of niches in comedy, like you and Mary, and a few other people are legitimate road warriors. Like you do your best work, you know, when you're traveling, and you're made for that. Like, I'm the kind of person, I drove to LA to move here, and I was on the road for 4 days, and I wanted to murder everybody because I could not handle another fucking day on the road. Like, that's how bad I am about being on the road. So it's, I mean, it seems to me like you guys enjoy that, or at least you find that to be a fulfilling element of sort of,
like, huge. Well, yeah. So I moved to Vegas once, and that was like a 2-day drive over to Vegas. And I just slept in my car for a couple hours at a time. And I was just like, keep driving. And you know, that's one thing. Like, doing that kind of drive sucks. But like, if you're like, okay, I'm gonna go 4 hours to this city, then 2 hours from that city to this city, then an hour to this city, and then do a couple nights here, a couple nights there. If you're doing it that way, it's really fun. It's not stressful. It's like, yes, 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 I can handle this. If you do it the other way, where it's just like, ah, I'm just grinding it out. I just, like if you're not having fun with it,
yeah.
If you, like, have 13-hour drives every day to get from point A to point B, no thank you.
Oh, no. That'd be terrible. But I feel like in so many other areas of the country, like, people would just so appreciate you and, like, your humor. It would be so refreshing to people outside of Cleveland, especially. Like, I don't know. I think people that live here have a very, very similar-ish sense of, like, humor, of, like, dark humor because of where we live.
Yeah.
So when you get outside of that, like, it's even more.
That's where I do really well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy about it. Like, I know where my bread is buttered.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome, though. People would
I just booked two nights in Huntsville, Alabama, and I'm crazy excited. I'll be there in February and again in April. There's always really fun shows for me. Like, I love Alabama. I have a pocket of fans in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and they're really cool people. I'm trying to do some more Texas next year. I'm doing a run. It's going to be 35 nights on the road. And I'm trying to decide which way I want to do it. If I want to start far away and work my way back, or start close and work my way out, or if I want to, like, go have the furthest point, like, the middle of it, when I'm in LA for 3 or 4 nights. Yeah. So it's working on the logistics of that, because it's going to be, like, July and June.
So that sounds like it's literally, it's not just regional, that's completely nationwide, because you're coming out this way?
Yeah. I'm trying to get up to Portland and do Seattle, and come down and experience LA and San Francisco. And I know I'm just going to be homeless in San Francisco for like 2 nights.
A lot of people are there, so.
Yeah, I'm not getting a hotel. I'm just going to sleep in my car. But that's like, that's right. Not even a thing that strikes me out. Like, I sleep in my car as is.
Yeah. Like, it's expensive.
Yeah. California has priced itself out of being a place. So is New York. Like, I don't 100%. Know how people are moving to New York or LA. Like, I was talking to a comic during the festival. It's Cleveland Comedy Festival this week. And he's on multiple television shows. He has multiple roles. He has 2 shows that are airing currently. Mm-hmm. And he has 4 roommates.
Mm-hmm. That's so insane to me.
It's a totally different world than I used to be. I've been reading up a shitload on this stuff and getting progressively more depressed, because it used to be, as recently as even, like, 20 years ago, like, you were getting paid commensurate with sort of your role. So, like, if you have any sort of, like, regular TV series role, or any sort of even, like, guest star role or writers, all that sort of stuff, everybody used to get paid a lot more. And now, because you have so many streaming services and all the different options that are out there, and I guess the streaming services, because it's still the Wild West, a lot of the WGA rules don't apply to them. So they don't have to pay their writers or performers shit, even though you might be known, you know, by 1.5 million viewers every week. You know, you're getting paid like 40 grand a year, basically, which, I mean, it's just not commensurate with what you would have been paid for that same role with that same amount of exposure 20 years ago.
Well, I think it's the same pay rate, but inflation's changed.
Exactly. Well, that too. Exactly.
The pay rate for comedians hasn't changed since 1985.
Right.
Like, people are still like, oh yeah, you're going to work a weekend, here's $200. Like,
right.
Okay, but here's $200, no hotel, no meals.
Right.
Right.
Oh, here's $50 after my expenses. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nuts to think that, like, I don't know, that, like, you can become so famous anymore, but you're not making anything from it. You're not making a living off of it.
But Kim Kardashian's a goddamn millionaire, because life is fair.
I know. I was actually reading about how, like, she and Kanye have private firefighters that, like, kept their house from burning down during the wildfires, which I didn't know were a thing, but I guess are a thing, apparently.
Oh, well, if you build it, they will come.
Money can buy you anything.
Yeah. And then that guy, I was reading an article, it was in The Atlantic, and of course they're all fiscally conservative, so they're like, what about if we just made, what if we just privatized all public services, like cops and fire? And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, what kind of, like, capitalistic, like, nightmare would that be?
Everyone, like, every time you think about privatizing something, look at the DMV. The DMV is a private company that has taken over a government thing, and it's not convenient. It's not easy. It's not fun.
Nightmare.
Yeah, like, everything else with the government is, like, it's shitty or whatever, but, like, the DMV can literally destroy you. They can decide you're not a person.
Yeah. Yeah, and the worst thing I've ever experienced about, like, the cliche LA things, like, there's a lot of cliche LA things I can live with. I am not exaggerating when I say that I spent 8 hours solid at the BMV when I came out here to get my driver's license, because that's just how, like, I got there when they opened at 8 a.m, and I was there until just before they closed when I finally got my driver's license. Like, that's how...
Yeah.
Insane. Like, no business should operate that. Like, you should not have to take an entire day off work to go get your driver's license, something everybody has to do.
No.
So don't know. It's kind of.
I feel like I would drive. I wouldn't do it in LA. I would drive like 2.5 hours away.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing everybody was saying was that specific branch that I went to, which was closest to my apartment, was one of the notoriously like longest wait ones, just because like it's in an area where a lot of people live. So, but everything in LA is an area where a lot of people live. So yeah.
Isn't even just like owning a car in LA so expensive?
It depends on your car, I found out. Apparently my fucking car, they don't want here because they charged me $500 to register it. And then when my boyfriend went to register his Honda Civic, they were like, that will be $3. And I was like, I mean, it wasn't $3, but like I paid $500 and his was like $150 or some ridiculous shit.
What's your car?
What's that?
What kind of car is it?
It's a Mazda CX-9, so it's kind of like a midsize SUV. But it was,
and it's from, newer, right?
It's 2010, and I got it. The thing is, in order to get your car registered here, you have to smog it. So I took it to get smogged, and they were all like, yeah, it's fine. It, you know, doesn't have any emissions issues. You don't need to get, you don't need to fix anything. So it's not even like it's some kind of like, you know,
quality
climate change inducing like monster beast machine, but it just, I think because it's bigger and they're kind of trying to dissuade bigger vehicles from, I really don't fucking know, but
because there's too many people in the fucking LA.
It's true, there's just too many people here. I mean, so far I'm still in a place where like it's like, oh shit, it's 75 out today and the beach is like right there. But ultimately, like, the problem with LA is that California in and of itself is a beautiful, wonderful, amazing state. LA is not ideal. Like, LA is probably one of the worst places in the entire state. And if I had my pick of moving somewhere in California, it would have been like San Diego or Monterey or something like that. But unfortunately, they don't employ comedians and writers in those towns. So that's what you kind of get stuck.
I mean, San Diego does. There's lots of comedy there, but you still have to go up to LA to do things.
Right.
And, I don't know what San Diego is.
And the thing is, well, so San Diego, San Diego's from like Cleveland to Columbus. Like, it's not far at all.
But it'll still take 5 hours.
That is exactly correct. Yeah. So it's supposed to take 2 hours, and we have offices there. So when I moved here, I had to go to their offices for a week. And I was ready to scream because it should have taken 2 hours, even in like moderate traffic, and it took 5, and that was each way. And the thing was, I actually had to drive to Fresno the following week, which is a 4-hour straight drive. I would rather be driving at the speed limit for 4 hours straight than driving gas, brake, honk for 4 hours, because that's when I was ready to kill people. It was just the fact that you had to just, you even if like you just started cruising at like 20 and you're like, yay, we're finally moving, you have to brake again in like 5 minutes, and then you're
I think I would take surface streets until I'm out of the city limits.
Yep, and that's actually what Google Maps, we noticed so many times, will have us do, is like, it'll tell us like, oh, it's gonna take a half hour to get from here to here, and we're like, oh, that fucking sucks. But it's because it's having us taking surface streets the whole way down, and it is quicker to take these little surface streets than to sit on the 405, because you're just gonna sit, you're not really gonna go anywhere. So anyway,
it's one of those places that like I'm probably gonna go spend some time in Atlanta. I do like Atlanta.
Yeah.
But it's one of those places where it's like, is it worth it? Like, is this my life? And I'm at a point where I should be doing other things in my life. Like, I definitely should be dating. Like, I should own furniture. I live with my parents because I spent so long touring in my 20s that I never got around to becoming a person.
But that's kind of cool, though. I mean,
yeah,
you kind of jumped into it right away. Most people would feel like they needed to wait until they were more established feeling, and you kind of just went for it, and then now you're like, all right, let's try and find a balance and figure out,
Where I want to go from here. I gotta buy a bed, and I put it off all the time. I gotta buy, I started looking for a new place, and I'm just like, I gotta buy all these things, and I don't want to buy these things.
What sucks is I feel like most of my 20s I bought furniture and nice things to like impress other people that we'd have over, because like I was married and we had like the whole like dinner party lifestyle or whatever, And then I got into my 30s and divorced, and I was like, man, fuck it, I don't need a couch. Man, fuck it, I don't need a bed. And then, like, your body at that point is like, no, yeah, you really needed something to sleep. You can't sleep on the floor anymore. I'm going to try to actively kill you if you don't get something more comfortable.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of, like, I haven't owned a TV since college.
Yeah.
I just, like, I haven't bought one, but it wasn't...
I just bought one this past year.
A TV?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't one of those things that I needed. Like, I could watch TV on my laptop, and, like, I still love watching TV, but... Yeah, now I'm like, it would be nice to have a physical TV.
Yeah.
Just how weird is that? Like, oh my god, I feel like I should own a TV.
That's the other thing. That's the other element. When you get into your 30s, not only do you need to buy furniture for, like, your own physical well-being, but then you want to have nice things. Like, all of a sudden it hits you, like, why? I should just have, like, a, you know what I mean? Like, there's just
I have expensive to eat at. So I just have to be a minimalist, because I'm like, I can't afford any of the stuff I actually want, so.
I just don't like having a lot of crap, either. Like, because especially, like, if you just want to fucking, I don't know, quit your job and move to California, you don't want to have to worry about how you're going to move all your fucking shit. Yeah, across country.
So my entire life fits in 3 suitcases and a
see, yeah.
I can pack up and leave town right now if I wanted to.
Right.
That's a good feeling. Like, yeah, I don't know. I would like that.
But then it's like, oh well, I don't have a couch. I don't have I don't have a futon. I don't even have a futon.
Yeah. See, then you don't have to worry about what to do with it, though. I don't know. I love, like, that's a reason why when my passport was 6 months from expiring just last month, I was like, I gotta fucking renew my passport, because I don't think that I want to just leave for Zimbabwe tomorrow, but I want to know that I can just leave for Zimbabwe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to, like, I've never been to Canada, and it's 5 hours away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can get to Canada, like.
You'd swim.
Yeah, like, I feel like I should go to Canada. Yeah. Like, that's the thing I should just go to Canada.
You should.
Maybe I'll go. Like, I can't go next weekend because I'm going to Vegas, but like, maybe I'll go.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would strongly recommend Toronto. Toronto is kick-ass. They have so much good food there.
I've heard
there.
Good things about Toronto.
Yeah. And that's only 4 hours, which is fantastic. I drive like a fucking maniac, so maybe it's probably more. But
yeah, well, like, once you get through Buffalo, you're basically in Toronto.
Exactly. So, and that's it. Like, Toronto's cool. Niagara Falls is cool in, like, a sort of... If you're super into, like, a cheesy, fun weekend where you're just, like,
it's taking kitschy.
Pictures from the falls. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't suck.
I went to Niagara Falls, but I didn't have my passport on me, so I couldn't go all the way into Canada. Because I was like, oh, I knew I was going to Buffalo, but I didn't put one together that was on the border. And I couldn't cross over if I felt like it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't know what the exchange rate is or, like, what it costs to cross the border. And I only have my debit card, and I feel like they're not going to take that at the border, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you should definitely check out Toronto. I have also been to Montreal, which is not that far of a drive, and it's exactly like Europe. Like, it is exactly like Europe, and everyone speaks French, and that's totally a fucking good time, especially for Juste pour Rire, which is the Just for Laughs comedy festival every summer they have up there. That's fantastic. I would
submissions for JFL are open now, and they close in January, and I gotta get a fucking video for that. It's one of those things. Like, every time I think about doing something, I'm just like, oh, but comedy. Like, I want to go to Australia for a month. I'm like, oh, then I'm taking a month off work. I'm taking a month off stage.
You're singing my life, because that's why everyone's been asking me why I haven't done comedy since I came out here 4 months ago, and I'm like, but now I have time to, like, go get high on the beach, and if I want to go to Zimbabwe tomorrow, I can go to Zimbabwe. You know what I mean? Like, I can just fucking do shit now.
When I moved to New York City, I was like, oh, I'm gonna be a comic. I'm gonna fast track this shit. I'm just going to spend 5 years doing all the open mics. I did 4 mics in 6 months. I hated everyone and everything. I was a real estate agent. I felt like a scumbag.
Wow.
Yeah, just being in New York was probably one of the worst experiences in my life.
Oh, no. I've never
hated anything more.
I feel like, yeah, everybody really? I've ever known to move to New York either loves the shit out of New York or hate. There's no, that's like LA. Like, you either love it or you hate it. There's no in
between. And that's why I'm, like, hesitant to move to, like, another big city like that. Like, New York, LA, Chicago, Atlanta, even. Austin. I can't move to Portland or Seattle because, like, I don't want to have to vote Republican, but I will because it'll punish people around me.
I relate to that so
hard. Someone really pisses you off.
Oh,
I will
God.
Be actively voting against their best interests because, like, just
No death with dignity for you, man. Jeez.
I find the further I get away from the Midwest, the more conservative I become.
Yeah.
Like, I head into the Deep South and I become a bigger liberal, but, like, I head to the coast and I become a bigger conservative, and I'm just like, ugh, you people are doing this wrong. This is wrong. Like, every time I see a neckbeard, I just, like, ugh, I hope they tax us. I hope we get a tax cut. Like, I just... Every time someone posts about a new ism that they're being discriminated against, I'm just like, you know what? This is why we don't need trees.
Yep. You just go outside with an aerosol can and just start spraying it into the air when you see that kind of shit.
I got super pissed off at something about a month ago, and I was like, I'm actively unrecycling. So, like, oh, you're going green? That's good, because I'm going black. When I saw that report that...
this is the year. I'm going that back.
Earth has like 30 years left for humans. I was like, good, that's a really long time. Fuck it.
That's like, have you been watching South Park this season at all?
No, I haven't watched South Park since the movie.
So there was an episode like years ago where Al Gore came on and was trying to warn everybody about Man Bear Pig, which was like a metaphor for global warming. And they all made fun of him and they were like, okay, yeah, whatever. Well, this was, like, probably, like, 10 years ago. It was whenever he lost the election, so, God, Jesus, 18 years ago?
Yeah.
And so then he's back on this season, and Man Bear Pig is real, and it's, like, killing millions of people. And they're like, okay, we're sorry, Al Gore, we believe you, Man Bear Pig is real now, how do we stop it? And he's like, no, now you just have to deal with everybody not believing you and not listening to you like you did me for the last 18 years, and I just absolutely
I think it's, there's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer becomes a trash
commissioner. Yes!
And Steve Martin's the voice of the guy, and he goes, oh God, I'm not much on speeches. I just want to tell you all that you're screwed. Goodbye. And Mo just goes, yeah, he's not much on speeches. Because he filled the town with trash. And they're like, plan B, we're going to move to a different state. We're going to move the town 5 miles down the road.
They did. They literally picked up all the buildings and then just drove them 5 miles down the road. Oh, and that's how they resolved the problem. No, that was it. Right after Trump got elected, I remember a lot of people had that Steve Martin clip where he was like, I'm not, so what ended up happening was Homer ran against Steve Martin's character for, like, trash commissioner. And, like, Steve Martin's character was, like, a great trash commissioner, and Homer, like, kicked him out of office. And so they're like, we need to bring him back, because Homer, like, totally fucks it up. And then he comes back on stage, and they're playing, like, the Sanford and Son theme song as he comes back on stage. And they're like, yay, please come back, trash commissioner. And he's like, oh, I'm so moved right now, and I'm not one for speeches, but I'm so happy to leave you all wallowing in the mess that you've made. You're screwed. Goodbye. And, like, people kept playing that right after Trump got elected. Like, oh, that's Hillary's, like, concession speech. Like, I'm just going to leave you all wallowing in the mess you've made. Goodbye. I love this conversation. We should probably wrap it up so I don't keep you guys all afternoon.
I've got to do homework and laundry.
Yes, do homework, do long division. Is there anything in January you'd like to promote or sometime next year? Because that'll probably be when we air this.
January.
Or like next year, the festival, anything like that?
The first week of January, I'll be in the city of Chicago. Okay. January 5th, I am at a place called Sellerman's, and it's in the Detroit area. January, the third week of January in Cleveland, Ohio, I'm going to be doing something at Super Electric Studios for the for Third Fridays.
Okay.
February 1st, I am in Huntsville, Alabama for Awesome Comedy Hour, which is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about that. My festival is in August of 2019. It will be in Louisville, Kentucky, August 21st to the 25th. I believe the exact dates. We're still nailing a couple things down, but you can follow me on all the social medias. For the festival, it's MQC Fest on everything. For me personally, I'm Life's a Party on Twitter. I'm Funny Dwayne on Instagram. I'm Funny Dwayne on Venmo. That's my favorite social media.
Oh, yeah.
You can follow me everywhere. I have the albums available on iTunes, Amazon, everything. They are Drunk in a Basement. That came out in 2016. And The other one is Shame Flashbacks, which came out in 2008.
Yes, those are very good albums. You should check them out. The album art is also amazing. I believe you're dressed as a Care Bear on one of them.
I am a Care Bear in one.
So you definitely got to check it out for the artwork alone. I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. You're a wonderful guest because you talk, and I love that.
thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And Geech, is there anything you want to promote on social media?
If you want to follow me on Instagram, at ggchick, g.g.chick.
You can find me at EpicFaul, EpicFaul, on Instagram and Twitter. I want to promote the Sunday night showcase couch gags at Skidmark Garage. We normally do them first and third Sundays of every month. Is that Hannah? One of Hannah's cats has appeared. Is that the famous one or is that the less famous one?
Yeah, this is the famous Eli.
Okay. If you want to look at the APL billboards around the city of Cleveland, it is featuring Eli, who is currently blocking the camera and just generally being, hey, he's an attention whore too. He's like, I heard there was something about an attention whore. He got some fame and now it's all about Eli. Oh, there's his butt. There's his butthole. That's a cat butthole. All right. And then I want to thank Above Below Entertainment for being our network. Okay, love you, bye.